The Schiavo case has been unusually bitter and public. Every day, families across the country privately agonize over what to do about a loved one in a persistent vegetative state. Dr. Ronald Cranford is at the Bioethics Center at the University of Minnesota. As an expert on the medical and ethical implications of severe brain damage, he testified on behalf of Schiavo's husband, Michael. NPR's Renee Montaigne talked with Cranford.
Dr. Cranford is a neurologist as well as a bioethicist. He says he's treated many patients with brain damage so severe they can no longer function and are alive because of feeding tubes.
It's extremely common. It's a product of modern medical technology. So approximately 25 to 35,000 is we can best approximate of patients in a permanent vegetative state.
Presumably there are others who have been allowed quietly to die.
Oh, yeah, tens or hundreds of times every week, you know, hundreds or thousands of times every year. This is a very common scenario where nutrition and hydration or other forms of medical treatment are stopped on someone in a permanent vegetative state. Very, very common.
So would it be then accurate to say that there are two possible honorable paths to take in a situation like this? That is, thousands of families who've chosen to care for family members in this state or have them cared for, others who have allowed them to die.
Yes, I think it's very reasonable to say that they're on a path. Not only that, but some people come to the realization after a few months or a few years there's no chance for recovery, and then it takes them a few more years to realize they probably want them to live like this, where other families may never come to this conclusion and may never really fully recognize they're hopeless or that they would want treatment stopped.
When one is in a persistent vegetative state, one is not actually brain dead.
No, one's not brain dead, but it's very scary because the eyes are open. In other words, they're not in a coma where the eyes are closed. Their eyes are open. They have sleep-wake cycles. And it looks at times like they're interacting with you, which is very hard on families. So they may have grimacing or apparent smiling or other facial movements, which look like they're reflecting true emotions, but they're not. They may have movements in their arms and legs, which look like voluntary movements when they're not. So it's always very, very difficult for families to accept the possibility that their loved one is not recovering. They may take months or years or longer for families and loved ones to really realize there's no hope for recovery and the patient is truly unconscious.
Is there any possibility, though, that medical people might be wrong, especially as regards, say, the emotions? Are you absolutely certain that a person in the state can't feel anything?
Yes, I think you can be. There's no way of measuring that per se, but we've seen hundreds or thousands of patients in a vegetative state. The patient doesn't feel pain and suffering at a higher level. They're not aware of their condition. So I think in the majority of patients in a permanent vegetative state, these patients are unconscious and cannot experience pain and suffering.
Which gets us to a question that would apply to Terry Schiavo's case. In Terry Schiavo's case, her parents long argued that with intense therapy or even treatments that might not even be available now but in the future, they could get her back to some minimal function.
Yes.
And then they say they'd be happy with that. They'd be willing to take care of her for the rest of her life. Why shouldn't they be able to do that?
Well, first of all, they're not the immediate surrogate decision maker. The husband is the one that normally makes these decisions, and we have a way of looking at appropriate surrogate decision makers. We try to avoid this at all costs, and that's why we have ethics committees and clinical ethicists and others who try to get the family to agree. And if they don't agree, usually what we do in an informal ethical setting is not discontinue treatment.
Is not discontinued.
We usually
treatment.
Don't if there's a major disagreement in an ethical situation. Once you get the law involved, everything changes, and you have an extreme situation like this. And so, one lesson to be learned from this case is, write a living will, express what you want beforehand. At our hospital, we have anywhere from 2 to 10 patients with severe brain damage, like Terry Schiavo, who may not recover completely, where the family is at various stages. And we work very hard to minimize chances of a Schiavo situation where the parents disagree, and there's no easy way to resolve, but the worst thing you can do is go to court, because this is what happens when you go to court. Nobody wins.
Dr. Ronald Cranford is a neurologist and a clinical ethicist at the University of Minnesota Bioethics Center. Thanks very much.
My pleasure.
I'm Renee Montaigne, NPR News.